Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's
go, man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, are you okay? We need to get Mraz an online degree in psychological therapy and have him give you some. Between Sunday morning football yesterday and today, you've talked a lot about violent events happening. Irritability stems from overworking, DA. Maybe you should take a day off. Hashtag no days off. I'm like AB. I'm just erratic, unpredictable. You don't know what you're going to get. But I'm not angry. I am channeling all Patriots hate into what I think are very logical discussion points.
You wanted his house booby-trapped, Tom Brady's.
That's right.
Very logical.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
So we're going to turn this into Home Alone.
Yep. Brady's the wet bandits. And Antonio Brown is going to try, hopefully, to move in and then set a whole bunch of booby traps for Tom Brady, the wet bandit.
Brown's just going to have a Michael Jordan fathead going around on a roller coaster pretend somebody's home.
We've talked a ton already about week one of the NFL season. We've talked about Antonio Brown shooting his way out of town into New England. We talked about how bad the Steelers looked last night and how good the Patriots looked. The Browns, once again, losers. The Titans throwing that thumping on the Browns. We've talked about Lamar Jackson throwing dimes all over the place against a Miami team that is openly quitting and revolting on its coach. We've talked about the Jaguars and Gardner Minshew, as well as the broken clavicle of Nick Foles, how great the Chiefs' offense once again looks. Even without Tyreek Hill, who was injured in this game, Sammy Watkins suddenly looks like a number one right off the bat. They are just amazing. So all of that is on the table this morning. You want to jump in on any of those topics, let's do it. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227, or anything else around the NFL weekend, 855-212-4CBS. Or remember, college football as well, a lot of interesting outcomes. I can't believe Michigan had that much problems, that many problems with Army. I can't believe Florida State almost lost to Louisiana Monroe, needed a missed extra point to beat Louisiana Monroe. Willie Taggart, you are officially on the clock. Clemson looks amazing in their dominance over a team like Texas A&M that should be a top 15 team for most of the season. And LSU's Joe Burrow is the real deal and has elevated LSU to a different stratosphere. LSU's always had great defensive players, really good skill position guys, but never a quarterback that can elevate that program to where the Alabamas and right now the Clemsons are. They got that kid right now in Joe Burrow. He played like a man on Saturday night against Texas. What a game that was. What a performance that was. I don't remember an LSU offense that has looked like this ever in my lifetime. Tigers fans should be thrilled at the potential of this program right now under that kid, Joe Burrow. I want to also talk about this Cowboys performance because they chewed up and spat out the New York Giants yesterday. And I have always been very critical of Jason Garrett. I think Jason Garrett can break things that are already fixed. I think Dak Prescott has, over the course of his career, been limited and has needed this great offensive line, needed a great running back, needed his legs just as much as his arm. And that's ultimately not a winning formula in the NFL. And I have taken my swipes at Jerry Jones and spending all of the money, but the Cowboys looked great yesterday. And part of that is the Giants are not going to be very good this year. Giants fans don't like when I say this, but this is a 5-11, 6-10 type season, and nothing's going to convince me otherwise. And yesterday just did more of the same. But the Cowboys were really good, and Dak was really, really good. Dak Prescott throws for 405 yards and 4 touchdowns. And that was a dominant performance, top to bottom, by the Cowboys. That is the look of a playoff team. That is the look of a deep playoff team. And Jason Garrett can screw up even the easiest stuff. So I don't know about Jay Garrett the rest of the way, but the ease, the efficiency with which the Cowboys dominated the Giants yesterday was something to behold. It just seemed so methodical. They didn't even need Zeke to have a big day. Zeke had 50 yards. They had released Alfred Morris. But Dak, pinpoint passing, moved the chains down the field. Bing, bing, bing. Touchdowns, not field goals. Look, everything about that Cowboys performance I liked. Everything about it I liked. That's a really good football team that should be playing into January. Now, I have to ask this, Mraz. At what point yesterday did you realize you had made an enormous mistake by guaranteeing the Giants come back to win that game? I mean, yesterday during the game, here is Sean Mraz yesterday. Giants are winning this game, FYI. Why would you do that? Why? Felt confident,
DA.
At 5:59 Eastern time, you said Giants are winning this game. So you were already an hour and a half into the game. Why would you say that?
Because I had thought the Giants left a lot of opportunities on the board, and I thought defensively I trusted this coaching staff to find a way scheming-wise, because I thought a lot of the plays weren't a talent issue. I thought it was missed assignments by the Giants, and I thought they would come out and they would find a way, and Saquon would break the game open in the second half. They were only down 2 touchdowns at the time. Then they opened up the second half, and they were trying to go right down the field. Cody Latimer's making big plays. I was starting to bow out my chest like I was right. And then everything completely fell apart in the next 7 minutes. So I tweeted that at 5:59. I would say by 6:16, I completely regretted it.
You were surrounded by Cowboys fans yesterday at your dad's bar, Bob's Bar, in the backyard.
Sure.
Cowboys fans had infiltrated, and I think you were just getting sick of the Cowboys fans. You weren't even really thinking what you were tweeting. You just wanted to shove it back in their face.
I might have really believed
that the Giants were going to win that game.
Look, I didn't say this out loud. I woke up yesterday thinking the Giants were winning the game. I did. I thought the Zeke stuff would weigh on the Cowboys. I thought he wouldn't look sharp, and I thought Eli would give you, in his last opening day, one last hurrah in a building he played well in. And I thought they played well enough in the first half. It was blown assignments on defense, and I thought they left points on the board. And I thought at halftime, I said, you know what? This game's not over. Eli's going to give you a little magic here in the second half, and we're going to stick it to him. I was clearly wrong. I'm wrong a lot. I was 2-1 and up the gut, but nonetheless, I was an idiot when I tweeted that. It's not the first time I was an idiot, not the last time I'll be an idiot. I'll be an idiot later today.
Season over for the Giants?
Yes, but the season was cooked before it started anyway. The season's long over, but to me, it's all about the coaching staff the rest of the year. What is Pat Shurmur and what is James Betcher? We heard a lot of positive things. Now, guess what? You have a lot of young guys, and all I keep hearing is they don't have talent. Well, you invested in all these young, supposed future talents. You got to harbor them and get them ready.
I thought it was really interesting they put in Daniel Jones. I thought it was really interesting.
That wasn't interesting. Why they waited so long is what was interesting.
Well, I had been under the impression they were now in full protect Eli mode. And that Daniel Jones got his reps in the preseason. He looked probably too good. So now they were going to go full in on protecting Eli, his legacy. This is Eli's team. We have no plans to give him the hook. And, you know, you put in Daniel Jones at the end of garbage time. What did he get? A couple of drives in fourth quarter?
No, he got one series at the very end. That was the thing. He should have gotten a couple drives. He got 4 plays and lost the fumble.
You run the risk, though, of Daniel Jones in garbage time going down the field and scoring a touchdown. And then suddenly, it just adds fuel to the fire. I did not think they wanted to risk at all Daniel Jones looking good in a game.
But that's stupid.
I know it's stupid.
And that's probably, by the way, what you're saying is probably true, too, because that's probably why, because that game was over the moment the fourth quarter started. Daniel Jones could have played at least three, if not four, drives in that game without the game being over. And you're right. If Daniel Jones takes him on a drive, takes him on two scoring drives.
Suddenly there's a quarterback controversy.
The story this week is, look what Daniel Jones did versus the Cowboys. Jeez, it brought life to him. And that's probably why he didn't play until the very last series where they knew there was no hope of anything.
That's why I can't even believe they put him in, because...
But you have to.
Well,
in games that are blowouts one way or another, the guy's got to get reps. Because he fumbled yesterday, and I was arguing with an idiot next to me who said, well, this is why you don't put Jones in. Look at it. The game's over. You want him making mistakes there, because that's how he's going to learn for it. The more reps he gets, the more mistakes he can make, and the more he can learn from those mistakes to be ready for 2020 when they're ready to compete.
Yes, if I'm the New York Giants, I'm already on a clock of when we start Daniel Jones. I have no intention of starting Eli Manning for 17 weeks. 16 weeks. I have no intention whatsoever. I know I want to get Daniel Jones in there as long as he's ready. And he looked really ready in the preseason. So as long as I feel like he's ready, I want to get him in there. I just thought that Shurmur was going to stay as far away as possible from allowing Daniel Jones any reps to allow Eli to start questioning if this started in week 8, I could understand. Week 1, they're already putting in Jones. That means that the clock is on Eli.
If they're down 31-0 to the Bills in the third quarter and Jones is in there to start the fourth, I'm going to be real ticked again. Keep playing him if you lose in this bit.
855-212-4CBS on Twitter, DA on CBS. John is in Houston listening on 650 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, John.
Hey, good morning, DA. Listen, you know, we're all talking about how New England Patriots are going to be 14-2 or 16-0. He's an unstable guy. I can't imagine that he's going to last the entire season. And if I was Tom Brady, he comes live with him, you better get a scanner for electronic devices every time that guy walks through the door. I just see him eating that team from the inside out. So anyway, thank you for my call, and have a great day, buddy.
You got it, John. We can only hope. We can only hope that ultimately this blows up like an exploding cigar into the face of the New England Patriots so that AB actually derails a Super Bowl season. And wouldn't this be an appropriate way for Tom Brady's career to end? That it felt like the rich just got richer, a team that has won 3 Super Bowls over the last 5 years, gone to another, ends up the favorite this year as the Super Bowl contenders, and then adds Antonio Brown, who had shot his way out of town, clearly tampering or collusion to get him to New England, as he did everything in his power to get released, and then within minutes had an offer from the New England Patriots and a bag of money. It would be great if this came back to haunt them. And maybe this would be the end of the dynasty where Antonio Brown sets a booby trap, marbles on the stairwell, you know, Brady slips and goes, I can't do this anymore. Perhaps AB wakes up in the middle of the night and haunts him like a horror movie made by Jordan Peele. And suddenly Brady has to run away, tears in his eyes, terrified of the lurking monsters. Perhaps Giselle, you know, AB posts some pictures of her in unmentionables or something. She gets really upset. He puts it on social media, some type of moment between the two. Suddenly Giselle kicks AB out of the house. AB comes back, tries to haunt them with a chainsaw or something like that. Finally, Giselle says, you can't be playing football anymore. This is the end. At this point in time, Tom Brady has to go for psychological counseling, publicly declares all the cheating that the Patriots have done over the course of 20 years, unfolds all these secrets. Suddenly, the entirety of the dynasty is soiled forever. I think this would be best case scenario, right?
How much sleep did you get this weekend coming up with all this? And why are chainsaws involved?
I'm just saying.
And you think Brady's going to need psychological counseling? I'm worried about the future of the show.
Luke is next up. He's in Boise, Idaho, listening to 93.1 The Ticket there. Good morning, Luke.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, so I got two quick questions about the Bengals-Seahawks game.
Yeah, what do you got?
What was more impressive, the Seahawks defense at the end, or do you think that the Bengals are just better without A.J. Green? Or is it Zach Taylor? I was impressed. I thought they were a fourth place team in the division. But yeah.
No, the Bengals played hard in a game that everybody expected them to lose in a huge way. I mean, the Seahawks at home against the Bengals with a brand new head coach looked like the surest lock of the weekend. And the Bengals played hard, and the Bengals played tight, and the Bengals played with some guts. And I'm sitting there yesterday going, you know what? We underrated what not having Marvin Lewis there would do for the Bengals. We underrated that all offseason, and I feel stupid for overlooking it. And I was watching that game going, you know what? I should have seen this coming. This has the ultimate, thank God Marvin Lewis is gone, effect on the Bengals. They are going to be energized. It's a youthful, young viewpoint. Zach Taylor didn't have the LaFleur pressure or the Kingsbury pressure. You know, Zach Taylor has less pressure than every other coach in the NFL probably combined in Cincinnati. Mike Brown never fires anybody. Marvin Lewis didn't win a playoff game for 17 years, kept his job. Zach Taylor inherits a pretty good roster. Let's face it, the Bengals almost always draft pretty well. That's the one thing. The Bengals almost always draft really well. And Taylor is going to end up being the best thing that ever happened, at least not having Marvin Lewis. I was very impressed. And I started thinking, did we blow the expectation that perhaps the Bengals could be the last place team that comes back and wins the division? I don't think so, because I think the Steelers and the Ravens are still much better. I didn't believe in the Browns. But after week number one, look, this is at least on the table. There's a bounce that the Bengals get by not having Marvin Lewis. They actually end up shocking a few teams. They sweep the Browns because the Browns end up being a mess this year. The Steelers, we saw them last night, look totally impotent. And the Steelers end up being an 8-8 team. The Browns end up being a 5-11 team. And you end up collecting three wins against those two teams if you're the Bengals. And then you split with the Ravens. And the Ravens, who looked great yesterday, basically played my high school. So I don't think it's crazy to think that the Bengals are way better than we would have expected. And you're shaking your head, Mraz, like I'm crazy. Okay, maybe they don't win the division. But there's a team that does this every single year. The Jaguars just took a huge dent into being the one that did it. The other options are no good. It can't be the Buccaneers. Look at what that looked like. The Lions, your pick.
Still be the Lions.
It could still be the Lions, but okay. Not going to be the Raiders. We know that at this point. The Bengals become a tastier option for that team that goes from last to first. That happens every year.
That, if you went up and down the schedule of yesterday's game, that game will be the most single overreacted to game. The Bengals are still 3-13. They still have a terrible offensive line.
Andy Dalton threw for 418
Andy
on the road.
Andy Dalton still stinks, and the Bengals will be drafting a Fromm or a Tua. They'll be up there. And all this game was, this was, without the win, mind you, Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Bucs beating New Orleans in New Orleans last year on opening day. This was that surprise game that nobody saw coming, only they didn't finish it off with a win. The Bengals still stink. Joe Mixon's hurt. Get out of here. They're 3-13.
I think they're better than 3-13.
No, they're not.
I think they are.
I'll bet a little. What's your win total? You want to bet a little breakfast on the Bengals? Make the season interesting? Because our season shot with the Giants.
I'm giving them 6 wins.
All right. 6 are over? Breakfast on me.
So we'll make the over under 5.5.
5.5. I got the under. Breakfast on you if they go under. Breakfast on me if they go over.
Correct.
Done deal.
And breakfast for the entire staff.
Yeah, absolutely.
The whole
show. Body's involved. If it's Connor here, he's involved. Bogus involved. Take care of everybody.
Hey, don't forget Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA.
Of course. I don't know who Kaplan is. His new picture's emerging. Apparently he was bald. I don't know what's going on with Kaplan. So yeah, but he's included too. It's fine.
Okay.
Everybody's included. A little January breakfast.
Okay, I got the Bengals over 5.5 wins.
Yeah, just when it's my time to cash, I'll probably be on paternity leave. So,
of course. When we come back, speaking of those Buccaneers, is Jameis officially a bust? How awful was that yesterday? Plus, let's continue taking your phone calls on week one of the NFL season. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
I was on honor roll. Like, I wasn't Harvard bound. I was community college bound.
And right. Then the accident happened.
Come on. That's not fair.
Bitten by a spider that had just eaten a Domino's pizza.
That's not right.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Winston drops out of the shotgun. Ford and Bosa all over him. Intercepted! Akella Witherspoon going back the other way! Touchdown! San Francisco!
We had definitely had a lot of opportunities. Our defense played great. We just turned the football over at some unfortunate times. And they went back for touchdowns, so we gave them points.
Woof! Jameis Winston, my goodness, that was 49ers Radio on the call. Thanks for being with us. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Watch us, won't you, at watchda.com, live every single day, streaming on your device. Also, you can watch us on YouTube, best of clips posted there every single day. Yeah, look, Jameis Winston's a bust. It's official. I mean, could Winston have looked worse in his first game coached by Bruce Arians? Bruce Arians has been the quote-unquote quarterback whisperer for his entire career. This is a guy that has helped mold Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Kurt Warner into Hall of Famers. And when we look at Jameis Winston down the line, certainly right now, but certainly down the line as well, we will ask, how could he have been the number one pick in the NFL draft and been that disappointing? You know, he's probably going to have an NFL career where he's able to hang on to teams, latch on to teams, because there's always a desperation for quarterbacking. And if you're willing to be a backup, you can be a backup forever. I mean, ask Jim Sorgi. You don't even have to be very good. So Jameis Winston will always be tantalizing to somebody because of his physical stature and because of his national championship. He's a winner. He's a winner. But he is so bad. And yesterday was so unbelievably awful that Winston cannot be trusted any longer to be a starting quarterback, a franchise cornerstone in the NFL. It cannot happen. Because what you saw yesterday was an entire offseason to prepare for an opponent. And ultimately, a guy that looked totally unprepared and unready. And sorry, Bruce Arians was not in Arizona when Kurt Warner was there. That was all Wisenhunt. But there is no doubt that Jameis Winston is going to have more days that look like yesterday than not. And he's ill-prepared again. He is throwing into double coverage. He is throwing scattershot around the receivers. And, okay, that can happen rookie season. That can happen second year. That can happen to a young quarterback. This is year number five. And he's got the ultimate quarterback coach. And he's still making these same boneheaded decisions. I mean, the turnover numbers for Jameis Winston are staggering. Are absolutely staggering through four seasons. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. It is staggering how often he turns the football over. And okay, you go, well, you know, there's the intangible part of Jameis Winston. He's a leader. He's a winner. Guys love playing with him. Really? Because year number five, have you seen any of that, or have you seen him be a dunce? Guys don't want to follow a player that keeps throwing pick sixes. What happened to those intangibles? What happened? He is a bust. It's an official bust. And this was the one way he could have saved his career, was this season with Bruce Arians being relatively efficient and figuring it out and protecting the football. And, you know, they don't have to win 10 games. They don't even have to win 8 games probably. But just to not be embarrassed. And yesterday they were embarrassed. And he was embarrassing. You want these numbers? Do you want them? Because if you're queasy, turn the radio down. He's had 4 years of the NFL. He's thrown 58 interceptions and had 37 fumbles. Think about that. 4 years in the NFL, he has nearly 100 turnovers. Think about that for a second. That's like 25 turnovers per season. Interceptions and fumbles. Some of those fumbles are recovered by the Buccaneers, but that is an opportunity for the ball to be loose and scooped up by the other team. That is 95 chances for the defense to have their hands on the ball in Jameis Winston's 4 seasons. It's nearly impossible. You don't get that many chances to turn the football over. And it happened again yesterday. Day one, out of the blocks, whole offseason prepare. And he throws, what, two pick sixes? I mean, he's just a total bust. Three interceptions, pair of pick sixes. He stinks. It's just official bust mode. There's beast mode and there's bust mode. And Jameis Winston is bust mode. You think he's getting better? Oh, no. No way. No way. No chance. Joe tweets, DA, mind you that Jameis committed multiple turnovers, and this 49ers defense only forced seven takeaways all of last season. The Niners had seven takeaways all of last season. Jameis Winston nearly gave them all of that in one game.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227.
You can connect with us on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got your epic fail. We'll continue taking your phone calls as well. But, you know, really, Mraz, he crossed the line today. I might be calling for injury and bodily harm to Tom Brady, but you said a grandma was a bad grandma.
She's an enabler. And you not all grandmas are great.
You called her a bad grandma.
Yeah, well, because you're not being a good adult. You're enabling your child of a grandson.
That's coming up as part of your epic fail next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Steve Spurrier joins us. Coach, good morning.
And, of course, the Spanish holiday on Florida first up in St. Augustine. They were actually pretty good people in the state of Florida way back in the 15, 1600s and so forth.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
40 minutes past the hour, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And the DA every day, 9 until noon Eastern time, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Coming your way every single morning. And then also Sunday morning football, I got you. And we just had episode number one. That was a lot of fun because it gives us some width to really break down college football. And this was a good weekend to break down before the NFL begins. It kind of overwhelmed the sports landscape. So every single week you can catch me Sunday morning football. If you're a college football fan, it's a great listen, I think. You can also listen to it in podcast form as well on the same DA show podcast feeds. It is time now for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't forget, you can simply send me a question by tweeting at me, DA on CBS. Again, that's DA on CBS. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Getting a couple of questions from our D-Aliens on the New Orleans Saints coming up here tonight. In fact, Dixieland Dan tweets, DA, first game of the season, jitters, put my mind at ease. Tell me if I shouldn't worry or why I shouldn't worry and why the Saints are going to make it to the playoffs. The Saints are one of the best teams in football. They are one of the most balanced teams in the NFL. Drew Brees, when he sometimes has a game or two, a half or two, that looks like he might be losing his fastball, almost always follows that up with a really strong performance. He still got the goods. And I know he's up there in years. I know we keep waiting for him to retire, but he still got the goods. And I think that this Saints team proved its resiliency last year coming back after the Minneapolis Miracle to get all the way to the NFC Championship game and should have won that game. Should have been in the Super Bowl had the refs done their job. Do your job! I have no doubts that the Saints are resilient again and are one of the best teams in football, have a defense to go along with its offense, a ground attack to take pressure off of Brees, a couple of new contracts in there to make people happy. I think they're going to be fine. Now, playoffs, you know, look, no guarantee that you don't have your heart broken again. It's happened 2 years in a row, but I have no doubt that this is going to be one of the best teams in the NFC this season. Mick tweets, DA, do you think people are sleeping on the Rams? No. I mean, people aren't talking about yesterday's game because it wasn't an overwhelmingly great game. It wasn't a tremendous performance by the Rams necessarily, but I'll tell you, Todd Gurley looked good. And if Gurley's got an arthritic knee that everybody's so worried about, and I've talked about this on this show, he didn't show it yesterday. I just think, you know, that game yesterday didn't have a lot of fireworks, pyrotechnics like a lot of Rams games do, relatively close. I think the Panthers should be pretty good this year as well. But I don't think people are sleeping on the Rams. Most people, I think, would say that the Rams were either the favorite or co-favorites with the Saints to get to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. Let's get to your cut line, boys and girls, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Baseball news.
Well, it'll be a 2-2-2-2.
The Red Sox are the ultimate news dump ever. Fire their general manager 1 year after winning the World Series during a Patriots game. They fired him during the Pats-Steelers game yesterday. They released the announcement as the Patriots are opening up their season and hanging a banner. That is the ultimate news dump. That's incredible. By the way, all right, yeah, this year has been a disaster. There's been a couple of contracts that the Red Sox are going to have to carry over the next couple of years that are ugly. But Dave Dombrowski executed the marching orders. You wanted him to spend money. You wanted him to sign free agents. You wanted him to build a winner. You wanted him to win a World Series, and he did it. And then he gets fired the next year. I mean, look, I'm all for organizations that demand excellence. I'm all for not letting guys get too comfortable. But to me, I'm wondering, what exactly did Dave Dombrowski do that's so bad? He did all the things to help them win a World Series. He built the World Series winner. And I know that the Chris Sale deal looks terrible right now. And I know that the Nathan Eovaldi deal doesn't look good right now. But look, I mean, all of those guys, all of the guys he signed contributed to a World Series championship last year. And now he's gone? I mean, seems to me how quickly they forget that he basically executed the marching orders exactly how you would want them. And a year later, he's on his keister.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
By the way, I try to defend Philly fans. I really do. I mean, last week I said that Philly fans aren't so bad. And, I mean, I guess I'm just wrong on this because they fought a Sixers player yesterday in the parking lot of the Eagles game. They fought one of their own players. Eagles fans fought a Sixers player. Yes, this actually happened. Mike Scott was a player that came to the Sixers in the Tobias Harris deal. And he happens to be a Washington fan. So he wears his Washington jersey yesterday to the game. Eagles, Washington are going to play one another in Philadelphia. And there is a full-length coffin at a tailgate. There's a full-length, yes, in Philadelphia, full-length coffin, real life-size, human-size coffin. Not like a little shoebox you put a bird in. Big coffin. And there is a Washington jersey on top of the coffin. And Travis Scott is not happy about this. Or Mike Scott, rather. Mike Scott, not the old pitcher for the Astros. Mike Scott comes over. He's got words. Doesn't like this tailgate. They got words back. And there ends up being a fight. Now, these are Eagles fans who are probably Sixers fans fighting their own player in the parking lot. And you've got like three or four of these dudes chasing Mike Scott in the parking lot trying to fight him. And Mike Scott's kind of like bouncing back on the balls of his feet, and he's, you know, he sizes him up. He throws a couple of punches. They throw a couple of punches. This one guy comes up and, like, throws an attempted haymaker at Mike Scott. Think about this. These are Eagles fans fighting their own player. In Philadelphia, athletes get in brawls with their own fans in the parking lot. Guys, I want to defend Philadelphia. I really do. I want to defend Philly fans. These fans are complete and utter disasters. They're morons.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's your cut line. I mean, I don't know how many other cities this ever happens. I really don't. I got to say, I don't, as bad as Boston fans could be, I don't think the Patriots fans are fighting one of the Celtics in Foxborough. I don't think that happens. New Yorkers, we got a bad rap. We could be angry and frustrated and surly and obnoxious. I'm sorry. I don't think at a Jets tailgate they're fighting Knicks players. I don't see it. I mean, Mraz, is Philadelphia the only place on earth that this could happen where you actually fight your own players?
Yes. And by the way, it's not fighting your own players where they're bad and you've had it. The Sixers are a title contender, and the Eagles are Super Bowl favorites. Like, any Eagle fan should be in a good mood to start the season, and they're brawling with another guy who could win a championship with them by the end of the year.
Is it a bad job, though, by Mike Scott to be wearing a Washington jersey?
No, absolutely not.
And be going inside those tents? I mean, he did go inside one of
the tailgates. Yeah, but you know what? If you're an athlete in Philly and you're wearing the opposing thing, maybe there's some kind of power you think you're going to have fun with them and be like, hey, what are you guys doing? You know, and not expecting to be like really violent back. We're like, oh, wait a minute. Now that instant reaction comes. Also, what gets lost, again, the most ridiculous part about this is, who's lugging the casket to and from Lincoln Financial Field? Could you imagine Eagles beat Washington? You roll out of that stadium, you and your buddies, tailgate's long over. You've had a few in you, you have a designated driver, and then you got to be, oh, I got to load this casket back up after Mike Scott bloodied me up? How do you get on the turnpike with that?
How are you hauling the casket?
They make hearses for a reason. Did somebody drive a hearse to the game? Or did we throw this in the back of the minivan, take the car seats out? It's a casket. A real casket.
There's a sign. There's a sign on the casket that says "Drinking at the Lincoln." Lincoln Financial Field.
Like, remember the charcoal, honey? Yeah. All right, who's got the Bubba Burgers? Oh, did you remember the casket? Get the casket out of the garage, Lenny.
We got to get the coffin. We need the sign for the coffin. Got to have the jersey for the coffin. Everybody, do we got the coffin ready?
Unbelievable. Those things are not cheap either.
No,
they ask you to plan your death ahead of time. I wonder if one of these Eagle fans was planning on dying, got the casket, survived, now is using it as a tailgate prop.
Well, because this couldn't have been a used casket. Like, you can't bury Grandpa to get the casket back.
No, you're not going to dig Grandpa out, throw him somewhere, and then use the casket for the Although, you know, Eagle fans, I mean, anything's on the table.
Let's bring you your epic fail, and maybe they dug up Grandma. Grandma, Antonio Brown's grandma, Mraz, really took behind the woodshed.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What'd you think about Antonio Brown screaming and having a great old time with his grandma on the phone? Freedom, grandmama, freedom.
Look, I know a lot of people are going to be afraid to have this take. Grandma's got to take a lap there.
Grandma, they freed me.
Huh. I mean, how do you enable your grandson to think his behavior is okay? Or weren't we all raised by our parents, grandmothers, whoever, to show us to be better? You honestly don't think your grandson acted like a jerk for the last 6 weeks, that you're celebrating him being free from the Raiders? Grandma Brown's got to take a lap. She has to take a lap.
She has to take a lap.
Complete enabler.
Slowly.
Complete enabler.
No hips broken.
With a walker.
Yeah. No. You know, and this is the second old woman I've had a problem with on the show. First
is that right?
Was Sister Jean.
Yeah,
right. Obviously, her fraudness. I mean, Antonio Brown's grandmother. You're a bad grandma. You are enabling your grandson. Take a lap.
They freed me, Grandma.
That's not okay what he did for 6 weeks. You're acting like he just got out of some horrible situation that somebody did wrong by him. No, he did wrong by everybody involved, and you as a grandmother are on the phone enabling him?
Oh, God is the greatest.
She needs to get lost. Get lost, Grandma.
Bad grandma.
Bad grandma. Horrible grandma. She's a bad grandma. Take a lap.
You were trying so hard to be somewhat polite there.
I was, because you know what? It's an old lady. I get it. And you know what? We shouldn't pick on old ladies. You know, I understand. The Werther's in the purse, the whole nine yards. But she answers the phone. She answers the phone and doesn't tell Antonio you're acting like a clown and getting in line. You're a grandmother. You enabled an idiot grandson to act like a buffoon. And she's on social media. She probably don't even know what that exists.
I told you to work out. Grandma, they freed me.
I mean, what a clown this grandmother is, really. She might be a bigger clown than Brown himself. Because she should know better, even if Brown doesn't, and she enabled this behavior.
We free, Grandma. We got freedom, Grandma.
What are you free from?
They freed me, Grandma.
You're $30 million guaranteed. You could have booked Grandma some new tennis balls for the walker. Instead, you're enabling your... get lost.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Bad grandma. She's a bad grandma. Melvin's in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Mel.
How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Mraz, I love y'all, man. I need y'all expertise on these two topics right here, man.
Yes, sir.
okay, Jameis did have a bad day, but if I'm Mitchell, if I'm anybody on that Bears team and I look at that defense, and if you want to talk about a championship window, that defense, that is a defense, a championship defense. And Mitchell Trubisky plays like that one game. What would you guys, I mean, how long would it take for you guys to pull him?
Well, I don't know if you can pull him because Trubisky is the guy that you traded up for, drafted number two overall. He's your franchise guy. You won 12 games with him last year. I don't think you can bench him. He's your guy. He's got to play better, though. And if I'm the defense, I'm extraordinarily frustrated by how bad he was in week number one on Thursday night. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Connor Green on the Wheels of Steel today. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Tomorrow, we're working on some football guests, perhaps a former NFL player and a Hall of Famer in studio. Be there for Trash Tuesday. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.